This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
No Stugatz today. He is celebrating his 48th birthday.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
So we go ostensibly, allegedly younger with Jorge Sedano at 42 years old, but he is joining us from Los Angeles, and he has thrown out his back. And you would have loved to have seen the greeting between him and Roy Bellamy. Roy Bellamy is very stoic. Jorge Sedano said, "How you doing?" Hasn't seen him in a long time. Sees his face, says, "How you doing?" And Roy's response is, "Don't worry about it."
Don't worry about it. I'll tell you later.
Put it on the poll.
That's what he said.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Have you ever responded to "How you doing" with "Don't worry about it"? Now, here's one of the things that happens, because Sedano has been doing radio for many years, and I don't know if you, like Stugatz, care at all about consistency of your takes over 2 and 3 decades, where you have to have things line up or people will call you a hypocrite. Stugatz doesn't take any inventory of that, never mind week to week or year to year, and sentence to sentence. But how do you feel, because I'm curious, because you've become a Los Angeles homer, how do you feel about the throwing of baseballs at people as a way of adult problem solving?
No, I'm still against it. Like, I still think trying to bean somebody with a 96-mile-per-hour fastball is not pretty smart. It's not ideal. It's just a form of machismo. However, the Carlos Correa pitch was a breaking ball at 87 miles per hour. I don't know if he was trying to hit him. He did definitely. Joe Kelly tried to hit Alex Bregman. I don't think there's any question about that. But the Correa stuff, that was just, I think that one just got away from him. But they will build a statue outside of Dodger Stadium now. There aren't that many of them. Jackie Robinson is out there. But Joe Kelly may get a statue outside of Dodger Stadium now because of last night.
Well, not only did he throw a baseball at the head, toward the head of Bregman, but he also, as an added bonus, yawned after doing it.
Just, he did.
I thought was the greater disrespect. Put it on the poll at Levitard Show, Guillermo. Greater disrespect, throwing a baseball at Bregman's head or yawning in his face after you've thrown a baseball at his head? But I am willing in this one instance, Jorge, because I've been saying for decades, this is stupid for adults to throw baseballs at each other. But in this one instance, I am allowing it. I am allowing it because the Astros are dirty cheaters and people have to remind them of it every once in a while. I know Dusty Baker, and I love the idea that Dusty Baker, who is weathering the coronavirus at a dangerous age, is out here getting hot and bothered protecting these guys he met 4 minutes ago. All of these cheaters who did all this cheating and made a job available to him only because they were cheating. I love how hot and bothered he is. And he's not wrong when he says throwing 3-0 pitches toward people's heads. That's, you get into dangerous career implications. But that was the curveball, right?
Well, yeah, that he owes them one, though, Dan, because if they didn't cheat, he wouldn't have gotten the job, right? So he owes them.
That's true. Dusty Baker, by the way, after the game, said what really angered everybody was what Joe Kelly told Carlos Correa when he struck him out. Allegedly, this is what Baker said that Kelly said to him. "Nice swing, B," as in,
Billy, how did you feel seeing baseball return to some sense of normalcy with a bench-clearing brawl where nothing happened and people were wearing masks? And as they got there outraged, they're like, wait a minute, shouldn't we go back to the dugout? We shouldn't be this close to each other.
Probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea to be getting so close to each other with everything that's going on. Like, honestly, I'd rather get hit with a baseball than be 6 feet away from someone at this point, right? Like, I don't want to be around with all these people.
Way is I'm seeing a lot of guys spit. Okay, I read early on before the season that players are not supposed to spit.
Dusty Baker spit last night. Is there some sort of like phone line I can call? Like, kind of a lot of people spit, and I want to.
All right, your phone line stinks.
Terrible.
Fix whatever's going on with your microphone. We understood about a third of what you said. Billy, I need to understand how you received the news that the coronavirus had become infected with the Marlins. I need to know how it is that you felt as your team became the standard bearer for disease.
I was overjoyed, Dan. How do you think I felt? It was horrible. It was horrible. And now that, you know, everybody's screaming at them and everybody's, you know, blaming them. And it's kind of like, guys, these people are sick with this virus that everybody is fearing across the country. It's a bunch of George Sedanos out there right now saying we should punish the Marlins for getting sick, you know? Obviously, you would think it was some sort of breach of protocol, right? Because how else did they get it and no one else did? But that's yet to be determined.
Should we suspend them?
I think we should contract them. Just contract them altogether. Like, why? No one would miss them except Billy. Let's be real here.
You know what's, I don't want to say good about this, but you know what's funny about the solution to this problem is that apparently because of the fact that they're expecting teams to miss games, like the Marlins are going to miss games, the playoff seedings are not going to be on wins and losses. It's going to be win percentage, right? So the Marlins are 2-1. So they have a 667 win percentage, right? So for like the next week and a half, they're going to be in first place without playing a game because another team is not going to have a higher win percentage.
Wait a minute. What a great loophole. They should start infecting each other for the rest of the season. They'd already have clinched a playoff spot if what you're telling me is true. Ain't nobody going to finish with a 67 win percentage, 67%. No.
They're going to be a one seed at this point. If they don't play another game this season, they're going to be the top seed in the playoffs right now.
Look, I watched the Marlins. I actually watched the game that they lost against the Phillies, and I didn't know that version of the team. What the hell are they going to put on the field? What, like, who are they going to get? Where is, like, Pokey Reese going to be running around out there? Like, who are they going to get to play for them? Where are the players coming from? Are they going to field a normal roster? Like, they're not allowed to get near anybody. They're not going to play baseball games until Sunday.
Can Charlie Huff still come out and smoke cigarettes and throw knuckleballs? Is that still possible?
I mean, I think we may say Jeets take shortstop this coming week.
Oh, my God. He'd pull a Roger Dorn, like in Major League. Remember when Roger Dorn brought himself back? That could be Jeets playing shortstop.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Could Charlie Huff still give you five innings of knuckleballs with a cigarette in his mouth? Now, Sedano, what happened to you? How did you throw out your back? And also put this on the poll, Guillermo. Is throwing your back out the exclusive domain of the elderly at Levitard Show? What happened to you? You threw your back out?
Yeah, so this is what happened, Dan. I was like, you know what? During this quarantine, I'm probably going to eat a lot. I'm probably going to drink a lot, right? So I need to make sure I still exercise. So I went out to the trails near my house every day and started going up and down the hills, right? And it's like 6 to 8 miles in general, depending on which trail I choose. So all of a sudden, I'm taking the trails. And I'm still drinking every night, eating every night, drinking wine, eating whatever that I want, ice cream for dessert, whatever. And I find myself little by little losing weight despite all the food I'm eating because of all the miles I'm putting on. So I'm like, it's the fountain of youth. I can lose 6-7 pounds and I can maintain that weight by just doing 6 to 8 miles of hiking every day. So I'd give myself a day off. I kept trying to push myself because I'm an idiot. And every about 3 weeks, I'd give myself a day off. So that totaled about 6 days off. And then last week, my hip and my back were getting sore. And I'm like, all right, I'll take one day off. I'm doing my LA radio show in this chair that I'm sitting in. I get up in one of the breaks to go get some water. And then it's like, oh, my God, I can't get up. So I literally had to do the last hour of my show standing up as I'm texting my wife frantically, bring me a leave, bring me something, bring me an ice pack because I got to finish the show. And I've thrown on my back. So a week later, I'm finally back to working out as yesterday I did 6 miles again. But it took almost a week to do that.
All right. You're a real American hero. Keep in mind, everybody, that Sedano is doing this show on pain meds.
Yeah, and Flexeril.
And, he is drugged out. And also put on the poll, Guillermo, please, at Levitard Show. Are you a fossil if you throw out your back while doing a radio show? I don't need a rebuttal from you here, George. Just do the Sports
Center. No, I agree.
Just do the Sports Center read.
I'm voting yes. There's no question.
We do not have Stugatz today, but in his place, we have put a whole bunch of drugs inside of Sedano to help him with some back pain. So he will be slurring his way with bad judgment throughout the program. Mm-hmm. We will not be able to recreate through drugs or any other means the general counterfeit fraudulence that is Stugatz. But in every other way, Sedano is trying to play the role of Stugatz with us here today. I want to get his basketball expertise on a handful of things because we got Rachel Nichols joining us in the 12 o'clock hour. Lakers and Clippers are about to play, and I wanted to talk to Sedano about that. But before we get to that, you may have noticed that the WNBA players upped the ante a little bit. The Liberty and the Storm weren't even kneeling for the anthem. In the event you've become numb to that, they just walked off the court. And the comments on that were predictable. You know, nobody was watching, et cetera, et cetera. It's real easy to rip the women for not having popularity. But one thing I've always noticed, even as someone who has said before that I love women and I love basketball, but I don't love women's basketball, is that people who are ballers, like the basketball, the NBAers, they really support the difficulty of what those women do for very little money. It's why Kyrie Irving has just put in $1.5 million to pay women who opt out. What you never hear a bad word about the WNBA from people who know how hard it is to do that for a living in the NBA. But what I wanted to talk to you about, Sedano, because I don't know how this is for you, but as I see the Yankees and Nationals all take a knee, and I see the president of our country basically, it seems like, allegedly lie about being invited to throw out a first pitch at a Yankee game and then say he's not going to do this thing that he wasn't actually invited to do, as I see not only the Red Sox with a Black Lives Matter billboard outside of Fenway Park, but also playing the Black National Anthem, which I, honest to God, didn't even know there was a Black National Anthem until like a month ago. Yeah. Put it on the poll at Levitard Show, Guillermo. Did you know there was a Black National Anthem a month ago? One of the things that I find happening here, George, as people ask us to stick to sports, but less and less do I recognize the freedom that my exile parents came to get in this country because, you know, I'm seeing police officers who aren't in uniform in unmarked vans throwing protesters into cars. I see what's happening in Portland that's appalling. I find myself, George, and this is shocking to me because my life's really good. My life is something, this pandemic, and I'm ashamed to say this, this pandemic for me personally has just shrunk my life into a way that's more peaceful. It hasn't actually day to day been bad, except for what I'm about to say. Because of everything happening in this country, I have absolutely discovered for the first time in my life that I am always saddled with something that feels like low-level anxiety or depression. And it's not based on anything that's happening inside my doors. It's based on the things that are happening outside my doors. And one of the things that's happening, George, as WNBA players walk off the court instead of kneeling, you're never going to get back those people who think it's disrespectful to kneel. There is nothing they can do. There aren't fence sitters on that one. The people who are arguing on behalf of you shouldn't kneel in front of the flag aren't going to be moved by what they view as double the disrespect in just walking off during the national anthem. But what has to happen in this country and what is happening in this country for some of these movements to take place where you actually see people listening on racism and corporations doing anything on racism is white people have to be this kind of uncomfortable. Like, it's required, because when white people are comfortable, the racism just continues to happen without anyone listening. It requires the discomfort to open up ears, but some people are so uncomfortable with that discomfort that they just run away from the entire conversation. But in order to get movement on some of this stuff, you absolutely have to create discomfort for white people. It's not optional. It has to be so.
Yeah, I agree. And the reality is, Dan, is that I think that what happens now is, to your point, people can just tune it all out. Because there's so many distractions in our lives in 2020, right? For example, if you want, don't want to consume news, right, because it overwhelms you and makes you uncomfortable, oh, I can just turn on Netflix and I can go down that rabbit hole for, you know, 10 or 12 hours. And I think that as much as I agree with you wholeheartedly, right, about all of the things you just laid out, and I do think it's important to make people feel uncomfortable because making people feel uncomfortable then makes them become introspective. I just think there's going to be a section of the population that is always going to just shrug their shoulders or worse, potentially fight back and push back, potentially even in a more violent way in comparison. So I just don't know if we're ever going to get to that point, Dan. Like, I think that
you don't have to get to consensus, George. You're always going to have the people with the swastika masks in Minnesota walking through a mall. You don't have to get to consensus. All you have to get to is majority, because majority is what has been doing the racism for the longest of time. It's not consensus that's required here, just majority.
But I think we are, for the most part, at a majority. The problem is we also have a vocal minority, right? And the vocal minority, because it literally is that. I mean, you can look at the numbers, okay? Go back to the numbers of 2016, not the Electoral College, right? I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole. But the point is, the popular vote was one way and the Electoral College was another way. So the majority of this country is in for this movement. The majority of the country is in for more progressive ideas. However, just the way that it is set up for us to vote for these things isn't necessarily equivalent to the way that the masses feel, right? Like, that's just the rules are set up in a way where the majority can't necessarily get their way unless they get a blowout, right? To use a sports language there.
That's as it relates to voting. I'm talking about what.
Well, no, but
happening.
I just think in general. But that all starts with who you put in office, Dan. From a local perspective, from a regional perspective, from a, you know, a national perspective, a federal perspective, the people you put in place, right, in these offices are the people that in theory should be helping you evolve, right? In when it comes to social justice or when it comes to anything, including something as ridiculous as wearing a mask. You know what I mean? Like, that's just where we're at. When we're politicizing something that science is telling you to do, when science is based in facts and empirical data, like, you know, we're kind of screwed up as a country. I kind of like it when Max takes a shot at Stephen A. Smith and calls him, "You're being Stephen B. Smith here," because this is your B material. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mina Kimes will join us, as well as Rachel Nichols, in the next couple of hours. Hey, it's Max's joke, not mine. Hell with all of you. Soccer is back on ESPN+. Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series-exclusive studio shows as well and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments from around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. And now for your Sports Center update. The NBA Players Association Executive Director Michelle Roberts says that the NBA may need to compete in a bubble for next season. Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley and the school's Board of Regents have agreed to a new 6-year contract extension through 2025. And finally, Starbucks has over 87,000 combinations of possible drinks. You'd have to consume a new drink every day for more than 238 years to try each one. This Sports Center is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended, odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, brains, and even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu, maximum pain relief. It works fast, and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Tony, can you do me a favor, please, because I am old and sometimes I get fooled by the internet. Can you tell me whether or not it is a true fact that people were marching regarding the unemployment benefits on the actual home of Mitch McConnell, shouting, "Mitch, better have my money." I want to know if that is a true story. Because
yes, it is, Dan.
That's fantastic. I mean, just it doesn't matter who that would have been. Like, if you're marching anywhere, you could have picked any politician in America, okay? A mayor, a senator, anyone. If that was the march anywhere, that was just so – that's creative, fantastic, and I need to see and hear all of it.
All right. We need to – Roy says that it is a fact. Tony will double – confirm that. I want to talk to Sedano and Rachel Nichols at 12:30 about what's interesting to them about the bubble. But I know before I went on break, there were a number of different things that Billy was marveling at inside of the bubble, sort of observations that he was making. I have not been following some of the stories on the gram, Sedano. So you tell me how interesting these Billy stories are as he sees, as he learned some things, some intimate things about some of his favorite NBA guys.
Well, Dan, first of all, there's a Twitter account that's just dedicated to the NBA life inside the bubble. That's incredible. I think what they do is they just go through and they put out everyone's content, and you're seeing almost everything that's happening in the bubble. Like, we're in the bubble. And maybe we can find that person to talk to. Whatever.
I know who's behind the account. It's Nick DiPaola, who's kind of like our sneaker guru here at ESPN. Drew Ruiz, who used to work at Slam Magazine, Trayvon, who works with Amin on his podcast, and I don't know who Wells is. I don't know him personally, but those are the four guys behind it.
Well, there you go. That was a quick search, Dan. You say we never go anywhere. How about that? We finally accomplished something. Anyway, so what I'm learning is, one, NBA players can drink beer very, very quickly because they are just kind of shotgunning these things, and it's gone in like almost instantly. Two, NBA players stay in hotels very different from the hotels that I stay in because none of them seem to like the accommodations. And I'm seeing these things and I'm like, man, I wish that I could stay in a hotel that looks like that. These places look awesome. Three, it seems like they forgot to put a barbershop in, but they have since corrected that. And now there's a barbershop just kind of in the middle of the resort. Now, four, and this is where things get dicey, Dan, I was thinking, and I don't know how we're going to be able to pull this off at Disney World, right? But you see what happened to Lou Williams over the days off?
Yes. I will just tell you, having done some reporting on this while not some eating on this, I have been told that the food there is very good, that it is a plausible excuse to go to that strip club looking for the chicken wings, and that Lou Will has chicken wings in his name on that menu.
The lemon pepper Lou Will wings. But you can't get curbside there, Dan. Like, literally, if your name is on the menu, you can't just call ahead.
You know what?
And get
fair
the
enough, Sedano. But if you're going to a strip club, it can't be curbside. Just go on in.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
No. I'm saying spiritually that you can't go for food curbside at a strip club. You have to go in. I'm going to tell you this story. Do you know the story of the only time my father's ever been in a strip club?
No, and I need to hear this.
Oh, it's a totally true story. It's a wonderful story. My father was driving every day to work and didn't understand why it is that the marquee on one of the places on his way to work read free lunch. It just said free lunch. And so he's like, well, I've got to try that one day. Like, one day he decided to try that. Imagine his confusion when he walks in and it's the middle of the day, it's dark, and all of a sudden he finds himself in a strip club. But damn if he didn't have a steak and a baked potato while he was there, even though he made a mistake.
Well, so Dan, follow me down this logic ladder, or I guess up a ladder because you're climbing it, right? If they built a barbershop because they realized, hey, we need a barbershop, and we're not to believe that Lou Williams went just to get food, and they want to prevent future breaches of this protocol, would it not make sense for them to build a Disney strip club inside the bubble to prevent future breaches?
Yeah, you don't see the oxymoronic nature of Disney strip club, like those two phrases near each other, Disney and strip club. You know, you think that Disney has gotten into the strip club business? Has Disney ever depicted a strip club in anything that Disney's done?
No. First, I feel like I'm being misrepresented here. I wouldn't call it that, obviously. We'd call it something else. We'd figure out some sort of other name for it, right? But it's in the name of safety, Dan. I mean, I don't think Disney ever planned on building a barbershop in the middle of their hotels. I don't think they ever plan on having the entire NBA stay there. Different times, you know what I mean? Desperate times call for desperate measures here, Dan. I'm just trying to solve problems.
So basically what you're saying is Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck is going to be dancing on a pole. Is that what you're saying, Billy?
Jeez.
That does feel like it sort of felt
tastefully.
Tastefully done.
I'd like to retract this idea immediately and pretend that the last couple minutes didn't happen.
Dan, I have an update on the Mitch Better Have My Money situation. Not only were protesters outside of Mitch McConnell's house, they actually brought two trucks in, one with an electronic billboard and another playing a trailer with band playing go-go music with a banner that read, Mitch Better Have My Money.
Billy, who's drinking beer particularly fast? I will get back into this Lou Williams story because I've been remiss in not talking about it. I didn't even know, honest to God, I didn't even know that you could go to a strip club during this. I thought that strip clubs would be non-essential, that strip clubs just, I mean, what are we doing with the lap dances? We're doing them with masks? We're doing them with women wearing nothing but a mask. The strip club industry has got to be hit hard by everything that's happening here. Who's drinking beer fast, Billy?
JJ Redick had a good one where he was like in a little mini pool that seemed to be designed for children. I think it was a converted like ice tub. So he was recovering and also shotgunning a beer. Myers Leonard was good at it. It looks like,
Myers Leonard.
There's a bunch
the champion
of others here
right now. Myers Leonard is the champion. There's no doubt about that right now. He is killing
Billy. Everybody. Billy, when's the last time you shotgunned a beer?
Oh, man. I don't know that I have, honestly. It's dangerous. You have to, like, stab the thing, and what if you miss and you cut your hand? And then, you know, you have to look, it's probably very unlikely, but you could drown doing it, I'm assuming, right? If it goes down the wrong pipe.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Can you drown drinking beer at Lebatard Show on Twitter?
Guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mina Kimes will join us here in just a second. Rachel Nichols at 12:30 Eastern. It's that time of year. The NFL is almost here, and ESPN Fantasy Football is around the corner. Draft your team, compete with your friends, and take home the crown. Sign up now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball today. And now for your SportsCenter update. The NBA Players Association Executive Director Michelle Roberts says the NBA may need to compete in a bubble for next season. Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley and the school's Board of Regents have agreed on a new 6-year contract extension through the 2025 season. And finally, Mount Everest is actually pronounced Everest, not Everest. Who knew? If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts at participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
That is Jorge Sedano. He is replacing the irreplaceable Stugatz. It is Stugatz's 48th birthday. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you know it was pronounced Mount Everest? Let's go around the Zoom call here before we get Mina Kimes on the line. Chris Cody, did you know that there was a black, this is a yes or no question for all of you, yes or no, did you know there was a black national anthem a month ago? Did you know that that existed, yes or no?
No.
Tony, did you know there was a black national anthem, yes or no?
Yes.
Sedano, did you know there was a black national anthem, yes or no?
No.
Roy, did you know there was a black national anthem? Yes or no?
Yes, Dan.
Billy, did you know there was a black national anthem? Yes or no?
All the Eagles, Dan.
Mina, did you know there was a black national anthem? Yes or no?
No, but Everest?
Everest.
Yeah.
Mount Everest.
Things I don't know.
I did not know that the Boston Red Sox were capable of playing the black national anthem and going so strong with Black Lives Matter. What do you make of that in a city known for racism being generationally handed down?
I think it is, it's interesting that it's happening now, because when all of these sports teams started putting out statements amidst the protests after the murder of George Floyd, you and I talked about why corporations and companies and teams and leagues were getting involved. And I told you, Dan, I think on the radio, that it felt like there was now, I don't want to say a business impetus, but the center had moved was the phrase I kept using. And it felt safe. It felt unsafe to not say anything for these companies, again, from a financial perspective, setting aside the moral imperative. And now, actually, I think we're in this important point of that movement where I don't think companies feel compelled to be as involved, and perhaps teams are being pushed by their own employees. So I think now is actually when it's more meaningful that teams like the Red Sox are doing this.
What do you make? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dan.
Did you have something here, Sedano? Did you have a question?
Well, no, you have a follow-up on this, but I had something that is sort of related. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Like, what kind of awkwardness is that? Are you going to tell me that you wanted to talk, or are you just going to keep going?
Oh, my bad, man. My bad. Go. Just, it's your show. Go.
No, you go.
This is going well.
I mean, fine. Okay.
All right, I'll go.
Go, Dan.
No, you go.
Oh, Lord.
Manda huevo. Dale.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead. All right, I'll go. No, you go.
Why are you such a jerk?
Go ahead, you go.
Is it really
Are we just going to do this, all the entire media conversation? You go? No, you go. No, you go.
What do you make of Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Mina, keeping it light, calling on the NBA?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Okay, yeah, no, keep going. Let's do this.
Yes, calling on the NBA to create a foundation and donate a portion of the profits they make from their tight-knit relationship with communist China to support human rights.
I hope whatever serious thing I'm about to say gets aggregated in combination with you guys being terrible at radio for 20 seconds before this.
George, you go ahead and go.
I have things to say about this. George,
do you have a follow-up here for me on this?
It's the verbal equivalent of the Halloween costume and the serious take. I think this is fascinating. I think it's challenging because, as Pablo so eloquently laid out when he talked about DeSean Jackson, sometimes we want to talk about, it can be challenging to capture or address or analyze sort of the underlying issue. In that case, it was anti-Semitism, while that issue and the conversation around it is simultaneously being hijacked by people who want to use the issue as a platform to advance their own cause. I don't think it's controversial for me to say that's how politicians operate in America. It doesn't matter what party we're talking about. So in this case, the issue is human rights abuses in China, right? Whether we're talking about the civil liberties and with Hong Kong, or what's happening to the Uyghur Muslim minority, which is horrible.
Appalling. Okay? Appalling.
Appalling. And that's real. It's a real thing. And yet, listen, I used to write about businesses. Every Fortune 500 company is in business with China, okay? And far bigger companies than the NBA, far bigger enterprises. And I do think it is telling, and it's a separate issue, and it cuts to what I was saying earlier when people use the NBA in particular, which is, of course, a very prominent non-white league, use that as the platform to address this real issue. It muddles it in a way that it makes it more challenging, in my opinion, to actually discuss the underlying issue at hand.
Can it be as simple as this? As, look, all those things that you outlined are horrible, as we just discussed. We all...
You're going to go here, Sedano? You want to go
all,
here?
I will go here. Okay. We all agree. Guys. But can it be just as simple as, they're a communist country. We're a democracy. And we're not going to change, the NBA or any of these corporations aren't going to change what a communist country is going to do and how they're going to do business. Whereas here, we can look inwardly, right? We can look at ourselves and say, yeah, we're a democracy. These things shouldn't be happening here. Like, that should be the first step, is fixing your own house, right? Getting your own house in order and then worrying about someone else later. When in reality, you can't change someone whose philosophy on everything is the alleged polar opposite of what we are. Can it just be that simple? Like, the response can't just be that?
No, I don't think so. Speaking for myself here, I care about... I think it's important for...
Well, but I'm saying in regards to the NBA, specifically.
Sure. Yeah. It's not... What I'm trying to say is, I don't think it's more of a moral imperative for the NBA than it is for literally every other Fortune 500 company that are much larger than the NBA, and I think they're being singled out for political reasons, okay? That said, I think all of those other companies, and I don't want to get engaged in, like, whataboutism, all of those other companies have the same moral imperative as me, a human being who cares about human rights abuses both in America and beyond, which I really hope we all would. Every business, every human being shares that imperative. I just think the NBA is being singled out here for pretty transparent reasons.
So, Mina, let's talk about the NFL real quick. Camps are opening, all that stuff, right? What does it say about the NFL that
you're gonna,
it felt
you're
like...
You're going to go here? Do you want to go here, Sinatra?
I got it, Dan.
Do you want to stay on China or do you want to move to the NFL?
I'm moving to the NFL.
Okay.
Thanks,
you don't think the China thing is worth exploring some more? Just
well, I think we've
NFL?
Done we've done we've
okay,
done
we've
some
done
things,
enough
but
there?
I do have some important stuff I want to ask Mina about.
So you
the NFL.
Here or me? You or me?
It is me. Yeah, me this time. Thanks. What does it say about the NFL that it felt like their most important players had to strong-arm them into daily testing, at least for 2 weeks, as they get to training camp?
You know, that was an interesting campaign because we were hearing that it actually had already kind of been ironed out before. I think it was really instructive to see that from the star players, though, because it showed the league, hey, we are now able to finally... I won't say win in the public because who knows if they really won, but at least unify from a public relations perspective when we're going head to head with the league and trying to, you know, win in the court of public opinion or whatnot. The NFL is basically in the exact same spot as baseball. No better, no worse, in my opinion. They made the same mistake as baseball, thinking the rest of the country would get better. Public health experts have said the NFL's plan would have been fine if America had, you know, actually gotten its, you know what, together and cases had stabilized and the curve had flattened and all that. Clearly, it's not fine. And now we're in a place where we're asking, well, is it too late to do a bubble, modify bubbles? They're saying it is in the same way that baseball was, which to me just means with the NFL, and I do think the season's going to happen, we're going to live with what we have lived with in baseball over the last week, uncertainty. Now, it's obviously very different because of the a smaller number of games and the fact that you really can't take out a team the same way you did. But I think it's going to be an up and down season like this. Players are going to be dropping out. Teams are going to be ravaged by this thing at short notice, and they're not going to veer off course.
Mina, stay there. We're going to come back with Mina Kimes after this.
You go, Dan. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Today on the ESPN Daily, the NBA returns to games tomorrow in the Orlando bubble, with some players having left and, of course, returned. ESPN's Jackie McMullen breaks down who will succeed. That's the ESPN Daily with, I believe, still Mina Kimes, who's going to join us here in a second. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. I don't know if Pablo's taken that over yet, so I don't know.
Sometimes. He will take it over soon. Mina Kimes, you will find her on NFL Live beginning August 17th. You could get her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, wherever it is you get your podcasts. A tweeter writes in, every day I listen to about 5 seconds of the Dan Lebatard Show and remember why I stopped listening.
You don't get the show.
You need to learn from your mistakes, sir. Just go away and stay away. Mina Kimes with us here on ESPN Radio. The Patriots, what's happening there? Is it the coronavirus and family priorities, or nobody wants to play with Cam?
I love, first of all, that's an incredible way into that topic. I love that the immediate reaction to the like spate of Patriots opt-outs was the response that GMs around the league suspected Belichick had some master plan.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
They are so scared of that dude, Mina, that they think, like, honest to God, if he died tomorrow, they'd think he was faking his death for some sort of advantage.
Wait a second. You don't think he's tanking for Trevor now all of a sudden? Like, God. Oh, you guys want to opt out? Sure, go ahead.
Oh, my God. George, you're one of them. If he walked into the owners' meetings and, to take a page from Billy Madison, pissed his pants, every other GM would walk out with a wet splotch on their shorts, being like, I guess this is what we're doing now. Bill Belichick's
well,
doing it.
It's only going to be one of two things. It's going to either be the tank for Trevor, or he's trying to pull off the ultimate flex of all time. Like, I don't need all these guys. I can still win with a bunch of scrubs or whatever. Whatever you throw out there, I can win.
Wow, Sedano's buying this, Mina. Sedano, go ahead and have at it with him. Sedano believes in Belichick smarter than everyone, so he's having all his players opt out because of COVID.
It's one of the
conspiracy theory culture truly has gone too far. You might do that inadvertently. He might prove that he's the greatest coach you've ever has proved that. He might flex on them, but certainly not intentionally. This is pretty serious for New England from a football perspective. Like the opt-outs are still coming. It's a 7-day period, and it did feel like all the Patriots ones hit at once, but from a football angle, these are like meaningful players. The starting right tackle, Dante Hightower, who is the key to that defense, the guy who, you know, is mic'd up in the helmet, or has the headset rather, this is really bad for them. Like, you saw this affect projections of the season, but cutting to what I was saying earlier, Dan, before the break, this is going to happen. Forget the opt-outs, right? At some point this season, a quarterback might test positive or a star player will test positive. Like, this thing is the NFL's determination to plow through this, and I understand why they're doing it, is there's going to be games significantly affected by this. This is only the beginning with New England.
What needs to happen, given that Gronk, clearly, it's not that he didn't want to play football, it's that he didn't want to play football there anymore, or he wanted to play with Tom. Given that Tom wanted to keep playing football but decided to play football elsewhere, and given that it can look to others like all of these opt-outs are happening because these guys don't even want to go to training camp, so they don't have to suffer the Belichick training camp. Like, at what point does any of that stick to Belichick, the idea that people don't have fun playing there, even while winning?
It doesn't, because we're talking about players in Chung and Hightower, Dan, who have played for the Patriots for years. Right, like, if they didn't want to play for the Patriots, this would have come up long before this. And we're, literally, what's just happened is, like, it's been three big players there, and they've had a few more. Like, this is an immense small sample size situation. Not to throw cold water on, like, the narrative that we can draw from this random thing happening at once. But I don't think it says anything about New England that these players in particular. I mean, Dante Hightower loves New England. He's a captain there. He had a baby. He literally just had a baby. Like, Bill Belichick did not go back in time 9 months and tell Dante, hey, I think we're going to have a coronavirus pandemic. Please have a baby. Make sure it comes out right before the opt-outs happen. That way Hightower can opt out and I can tank for Trevor.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Do you believe Belichick tells his players when to have sex and procreate? We've got less than a minute left here. Jamal Adams goes to your Seahawks. They gave up too much for him, right?
They did, but I'm really excited to watch Jamal Adams play for this team. Yes, they it was absolutely a win for the Jets. I'm sorry Stu's not here to talk about that, but you see why Pete Carroll wanted him. He's like a perfect fit for their defense. And also, I think they feel like they are actual contenders. You can disagree with that, but they were inches away from winning the division. Homer take.
The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. You should go check it out. You will get your football fix there, and she has been promoted to NFL analyst. You can catch her NFL Live beginning August 17th on ESPN. Is it 4 or 4:30 to 5? 4 p.m. to 5 or 4:30 to 5?
It is 4 to 5, Dan.
Yes, 1 hour of a lot of football in your face. Mina, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Good job stealing Dan's slot.
We will see if Sedano flips the script again next.
That's what's waiting for you when you have those kids finally, Dan. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And now for your SportsCenter update. LeBron James says that he will keep his social media open throughout the rest of the NBA season. No zero dark 30 or whatever he calls it. The Seahawks plan to wait until next year to sign newly acquired safety Jamal Adams to a long-term deal. And finally, in 2019, Panda Express served over 100 million pounds of orange chicken. I think I ate like a million of it myself. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. And also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts at participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
That is Jorge Sedano. Any mistakes he makes of judgment or otherwise today might be drug-infused because he is on painkillers, because he threw out his back. He is sitting in for Stugatz, who is up to all sorts of chicanery. We don't know when he's coming back. He's just trying to pull scams. He's putting himself in the calendar, saying perhaps he'll work this day. He's talking like four different executives about his vacation days and giving them each different days. It's just unbelievable to wait. Like, he cannot simply do anything in a straight line. It all has to be a shell game. It all has to be camouflage, wearing a mask. He does it. It's where he gets joy from life. So we don't know when Stugatz is going to be on next. There really is no telling. But what did you want to tell Sedano? What did you want to tell Chris? What were you talking about earlier in the show with Crocs and chicken and what you – I didn't understand what you were saying.
So there is a story out there that Crocs, you know, the famous shoemaker, is making – is collaborating with KFC. And they are making Crocs that look like fried chicken and smell like fried chicken. I feel like that's right up Chris Cody's alley.
What?
I mean, the smell. 100%. I am down with the smell. And now Crocs that look like chicken, I'm going to have to see it before I commit to it. But you got me with smell. I'm in.
All right. All right. I will text you. I will send it to you. It's on. It was on ABC's Twitter yesterday. ABC News tweeted that out yesterday. It was very strange that they were the ones to tweet it out. But nonetheless, it was there.
Chris, I'm done with you today. Your connection stinks. I don't understand. That can't be real, what you're saying. It's not bad enough for things to smell like feet. You now want Crocs to smell like... That can't be true, what you're saying. That Crocs are going to smell like... Has he been fooled by the internet? That it's going to smell like fried chicken?
Look, I will send this to you. Look, I will show it to you on my screen. I will reverse it so you can see it. This could be yours for $60.
There you go, Dan. And they're not going to smell like feet. They're going to smell like chicken. They solve the problem of the shoes smelling like feet by making them smell like chicken, Dan.
Do you want me to read this from Good Morning America? For all the fried chicken lovers, Crocs and KFCs is good synergy. Good Morning America, ABC, ESPN Radio. For all the fried chicken lovers, Crocs and KFC released a new shoe that you might put on your bucket list of things to try. On Tuesday, the limited edition KFC Croc Classic Clogs were released, and the internet is... Hey, I'm just reading the line, dude. This is not my line.
Why do you take that sound personally? Before, earlier in the show, you were repeating a Max joke, and now you're just reading. Why are you taking the game show loser sound personally and being defensive every time it makes an appearance?
Well, because I feel like it's not deserved. If I say something stupid, I deserve it. But it, you know,
but it wasn't directed at you. It was directed at the article, a bucket list. This whole thing, you gotta be kidding me.
Don't make me flip the script. All right. Anyway. On Tuesday, the limited edition KFC Croc Clogs were released, and the internet was already obsessed. The shoes are covered in fried chicken print along with striped red base and white sole to represent KFC's logo. They also feature a strap and retail for $60.
That can't sell. It's not possible for that to sell. Like that, beyond being a terrible idea, there's no way that makes money, right? That's not possible that there's going to be any money made there.
And there is a something that resembles a drumstick right at the top of it, actually. It's kind of funny when you look at it.
Not only will that sell, that will sell out in minutes, I think. I think that'll be one of those things that you're going to need one of those sneaker apps for just to get.
That is a terrible price point. $60 for a pair of fried chicken shoes? Get out of here.
Crocs are surprisingly expensive. Unless you go like to the Croc store when there's like a Black Friday deal or something, or it's like 2 for 1 or buy one, get one half off. Crocs are surprisingly expensive. They'll run you like $50, I think.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Are Crocs that smell like fried chicken going to sell out quickly? Like it's one thing to say you believe it'll sell better than I believe it will sell. To say that it will quickly sell out as if there's some market out there of people who've been saying, man, I didn't want Crocs before, but if you make them smell like fried chicken, I'm in on Crocs as both a designer decision and I want to be walking everywhere surrounded by the smell of sort of rubbery fried chicken.
I mean, chicken.
This is
going to
be one of those
really
classic things that you think like a Taylor Swift concert or something where you're like, oh, I'm an everyman. I'm a Joe. I can get one of these pairs of Crocs that smells like KFC. No. You're going to need to know a Croc broker to get these shoes, Dan.
A tweeter writes in, I have thought for the longest time that the Lebatard Show ad said Dan Lebatard Show with his two dads, not Dan Lebatard Show with Stugat.
You don't get the show.
That is my father's accent. Are you ready to tell us a second Stugat story, Sedano? Are you going to flip the script? Because we've been doing this for 2 hours. You promised us a whole bunch of secret Stugat stories, and so far you've only told one bad one.
We didn't get a chance to do anything in the last hour because you wanted to talk about, like, I don't know, all sorts of stuff that's going on in the world. We wanted to have fun, Dan. You're being the grief eater.
Right, but I tried to talk about Stugat stories, and then you all of a sudden threw
it
to
imagery. We did flip the script on you.
Like
that. But I feel like the audience enjoyed that, and so did the guys. The guys absolutely enjoyed that. Look at them nodding.
I enjoyed it as well, but you promised us stories, and you've only given us one stinky one.
All right, I'm giving you the good one here, okay? I told this one to Billy yesterday, and Billy was like, oh, no. So I've done some reporting, Dan. This was something that was sent my way. I have vetted it and have found out that it is true. So apparently, you know, we have this new morning show with this new lineup coming on August 17th, and the new morning show is going to
be... Oh, no. Hold on a second. Hold on just a second. Billy, how bad's this story? How bad is this story? How greasy and awful is this story about how Sedano, how Stugatz was working behind the scenes to cheat on us as a show?
It is... Once you hear the story and you hear all of kind of like the different paths, it's not at all surprising what you're going to hear.
It's so good. It's so. It was like literally thrown on my lap, and I was like, "Oh, Dan's gonna love this when I come on the show." All right. So through my reporting, Dan, and vetting all my sources, I have acquired a text message from Stugatz to one of the members of that new morning show. Now that morning show is Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente. Again, August 17th from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., that will be the new morning show on ESPN Radio, followed by you guys, then Greeny with No Weenie, Max Kellerman, Golic Jr. and Chineo Gumike, Spain.
What did you say about Greeny? I think that show is going to have a lot of Weenie. I disagree. I don't think it's going to be a Weenie-less show. I think that he's going to come strong.
And then Freddie and Fitzsimmons, of course, in SportsCenter All Night. That is the lineup. So anyway, so I get this text message, and it says, "Keyshawn, it's Stugatz. I was calling to congratulate you, and as I was doing that, my teenage daughter called me frantically crying about her boyfriend. Two laugh emojis. I'll try you back in a bit or call you tomorrow. My apologies and congratulations." So there's so many different angles to this. Was Stugatz calling Keyshawn, leaving a voicemail, and there was a frantic teenager in the background, and it might have sounded like there was bloody murder going on in the background, and there's this voicemail on Keyshawn's phone. Clearly there's this text on Keyshawn's phone that I have acquired through sources. Stugatz not only cheating on you, but doing it poorly.
Yes, well, I wouldn't expect it any other way. Yes, Billy.
Pair that with the fact that I think on the most recent episode of Stupidity, he interviewed Zubin Mahente. So it seems like Stugatz is trying to cover all his angles on that morning show and find the crack where he can find one.
Well, that's the thing, Dan. So my question is, who does he want to whack on that show? Is he forming an alliance with Keyshawn to whack either Jay Williams or Zubin Mahente? Is he luring in Zubin into his podcast to make him feel comfortable around Stugatz to then just whack him? Like, how is that going to play out?
I feel like that move there and some things have dried up, right? I think that Stugatz was actively trying to figure out how he could get to New York and work with either Greenberg or Golic. But I think that what he's doing now, having taken the defeat, is simply that he wants appearances on that show. So he's trying to be extra chummy so that they call him and do some appearances. Does anyone else have a theory? Billy, do you have a theory on what's happening here?
No, Dan. This is the classic Survivor move where you have your alliance and you're the last person out. And it seems all but certain you're going to be the next one to go. Until you start going to the alliance and seeing where you can find the cracks and you see where it is that these two people don't get along with this third person and all of a sudden you're the third person, or I'll put a little feeler out here, I'll put a little feeler out there and find how you can wiggle your way in while no one's paying attention thinking that you're his friend. And I'm telling you right now, August 24th, Stugatz is going to be on that morning show somehow. Give it a week.
The funny thing about this, Dan, is that Stugatz, Billy asked me this question yesterday. He's like, does he even know Keyshawn? And I said, well, Stugatz was in L.A. one time to do your show, and he did it out of our studios here in L.A. And he, in typical Stugatz fashion, he waddles into the studio during one of Keyshawn's breaks when he was hosting the morning show in here in L.A. And he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, Keyshawn, Stugatz. And Keyshawn's like, hey, what's up? Like, he literally met him that day. So I don't even know how he got his phone number. I don't know how he got any information to get to Keyshawn, but he is working that thing. So I'm just warning you, Dan, that whether it's Greeny and the Weenie or him trying to whack either Jay Williams or Zubin Mahente, Stugatz is on the prowl.
He's angling, yeah. Does Keyshawn Johnson know who Stugatz is?
Like, no, absolutely not. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Rachel Nichols will join us here, host of The Jump, in just a few moments. And now for your SportsCenter update. LeBron James says that he will keep his social media open throughout the rest of the NBA season. The Seahawks plan to wait until next year to sign newly acquired safety Jamal Adams to a long-term deal. And finally, overall, the Lord of the Rings series received 475 awards out of 800 nominations, making it the most awarded film series in movie history. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's also one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and at participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We are awaiting a phone call from Rachel Nichols. I am curious what it's like in that bubble. Sedano, do you have any good questions for Rachel Nichols about the bubble? For example, I think, but I'm not sure, I would enjoy being able to ride the rides. You can't have access to the rides anywhere near the bubble, correct? We'll find out from Rachel Nichols now. The Jump, you can check it out today. Thank you for being on with us, Rachel. What can you tell us about, like, sort of the amenities that guys have there, that the NBA players have there, that we might enjoy hearing about?
Is the big question whether they get to go ride rides at Disneyland? Is that kind of the most important thing happening? Because I can understand that if it is.
I imagine you trying to sneak out and, you know, do the teacups and stuff. Like, I imagine you trying to violate all protocols in the bubble because you want to, you know, check out one of the roller coasters.
Hey, those teacups are dangerous. Don't joke. You take your life into your own hands in one of those things. You know, look, I think that they've told guys that they might get a Disney outing. Certainly the Lopez twins who play on the Bucks are big Disney aficionados. In fact, Brooke Lopez owns a house on the Disney property. That is how much he likes coming here. They, of course, have their little season passes. But so far, they've been trying to keep everybody inside. They just changed things so that, and this is planned, they've just reached the step where players are even allowed to go to each other's hotels. So I think Disney is still a ways away. They do get to golf. They do have sort of games and things set up for them. They have arcade games. They have outdoor games. And they have fishing. For me, I am of the impression that all of the NBA is just catching one fish, because you see everybody take a picture with the fish and then throw the fish back. And I think there is probably one NBA fish. I would like to know his name. I would like to get the sit-down interview with the fish, but so far he's not returning my calls.
Rachel, who is living their best life in the NBA bubble? Because we've seen the NBA bubble life, the Twitter and Instagram account, but by your estimation, who's living their best life in the bubble right now?
I mean, I kind of think a bunch of guys are, and not to get too serious, but it's mostly the guys who are in that age group where they don't have kids or people at home that they, you know, for them it's sort of like, oh, I live in an apartment by myself and do stuff and play basketball, and now I've moved down here. And I live by myself and do stuff and play basketball, except instead of having to text my friends and convince them to come over, we're all here together. So I think for those guys, it's actually been a lot of fun. And you've seen them, you know, shotgunning beers and all of that. You know, some of the older guys who have families, some of the coaches, those are the conversations I've had with people where they have just sort of expressed that this is tough. I mean, Frank Vogel and I were talking yesterday. He says goodbye to his wife and kids. And when he's doing that, he's saying, I hope I don't see you for 3 months, right? It's a very weird thing that the more successful you are, the longer and more you'll be away from your family. So it's just a dynamic I think guys aren't used to. Obviously, these players travel all the time, but not for 3 months at a time. And they just had an unprecedented stretch where they had 4 months at home, which is something that none of their families were used to. So I think it's a little more complicated to be down here for guys who have families. And then you see the sort of 23-year-olds who are just, you know, hanging out with their bros playing outdoor Connect Four. And how is that different from home?
Is there more hope now within NBA circles that this is going to be successful, even though there could be a catastrophe at any moment, just given how we thought about this a month ago versus how we might think about it today?
Well, I think in a good way, no one's like counting their chickens, right? So they just announced this morning, first of all, there are no chickens. They could not get tested. They could not get onto the property. But just this morning, they announced that they had zero positive tests for the past 9 days. They had previously announced zero positive tests for the previous, I think, 8 or 9 days. So yes, it is working so far. could there be a problem? They've got three more months of this. So sure, absolutely. I don't think that they're feeling, you know, cocky about anything. But I do think that they feel that even if somehow the virus got in and one or two guys came down with it, there is enough protocol and layers of protection, which is what they call it, that it wouldn't spread rampantly. And that's kind of what they're banking on. So I don't think they have promised anyone that it will be zero the whole way through. I think they feel like if they do have a couple cases crop up here and there, the hope at least is that it can be contained and that person can rest and heal and then rejoin the group once that they're test negative.
Rachel, the story came out yesterday where Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the NBA Players Association, said there may be a need for a bubble even next season. How have players reacted to that news as it trickled out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just tricky, right? Because part of dealing with coronavirus, as we've all found out in the last 4 or 5 months, is that it's very hard to say what's going to happen in a month, right? So the NBA would like next season to start pretty soon, right? They'd like they're targeting December 1st, which on the one hand is not a lot of time to plan. On the other hand, gosh, if I look 5 months behind us, I could never have planned for what we're doing now, right? I would have told you we're crazy, that I would be standing in Orlando in a face mask watching NBA players scrimmage. Like, I would put you in an insane asylum. So to predict what's going to happen in 5 months from now is really hard, but it is also really hard right now to see what would be different. And if you're going to start training camps in November and we're on the brink of August right now, is so much in the country going to be different that you could do this outside of the bubble? And the short answer is we don't know. And the long answer is you got to plan for a lot of different scenarios. And one of the things I've heard crop up is, hey, maybe it wouldn't be just one bubble in a place like Orlando. Maybe you would do what they call pods, where you have the NBA divided up into four pods geographically. Players can bring their families. You have it set up as sort of a more sort of livable long-term situation. And then you do those pods and then the pod champions sort of play together. But that is literally just, I'm not reporting this. This is an idea someone has thrown out, and they have thrown out six other ideas, right? And they're just going to have to keep going through the next few months of planning to see how this will work while we are also watching what is happening around the country.
Rachel Nichols with us on ESPN Radio. What can you tell us about the bubble and the daily sort of infringements of living in the bubble that are different than living outside the bubble? As you are, you know, you're in there and you had to go through a bunch of protocols in order to be in there, correct?
Yeah, and you can think of some stuff beforehand. So I really like good coffee, and I heard that there were bad coffee makers in the room and not really access to a coffee spot on campus. So I went to Amazon and ordered myself a $62 espresso machine, which has become my best friend. And it lives with me in my little hotel room, and I talk to it, and it's lovely. So you can anticipate some of those things. But some things you can't, right? I mean, you're here for 3 months. So, you know, I'm going to come out and come back to our LA studio after a while, but these guys who are here for a long time, it's just little things, I think, creature comforts of home. That is the reason why the shipping center here has been so busy. We did a piece on ESPN yesterday showing a warehouse where they ship stuff in, and the reason why it's so busy, just loads of UPS trucks every day, is you have a few thousand people who are like, oh man, I forgot that, let me Amazon that. Or, you know, how do we become more creative about something else? So I think teams have brought in things. The shipping center told me that somebody ordered a full-size refrigerator to be put in their room, like with the ice maker and the whole thing. Someone ordered a couch to be delivered in their room. My room is not that big. I don't know where you would put a couch, but hey, I guess, you know, someone wants a couch. So there you go.
Rachel, how many chicken wing jokes have you heard in the last couple of days since you've been there?
I mean, it is interesting that the players' take on the Lou Williams situation is pretty different from the rest of what I've heard from outside the bubble. And it is their health and safety that is theoretically at risk here. But players, I think, had some concern after seeing the Lou Williams situation about being told what to do kind of in their private time and monitored and dictated to in their private time. And I understand that, right? That I've had several players tell me, like, hey, you just stopped to get some food. And we had Tracy McGrady say on the show yesterday, what if he had gone to Wingstop instead of Magic City? Like, does he still get in trouble? Does he still have to quarantine for 10 days? The NBA says the answer is yes, by the way, that going to a restaurant is a high-risk activity in their mind. and to sort of show that the morality, quote, issue isn't at play here. The example of Alex Caruso is something we've talked about because the NBA talked to him when he wanted to go to his sister's wedding. His sister was having a 100-person wedding in Texas, and Alex asked, if I leave the bubble for that, what do I have to do when I come back? And they said a 100-person wedding is a high-risk activity. So if you left for the wedding, you would have to quarantine for 10 days upon coming back. And Alex decided in the end not to do it. But the NBA is sitting as judge and jury on those decisions, and it is the goal to keep everyone safe and healthy. And if you listen to these top epidemiologists that they've hired, it makes sense. But it is also something that conflicts with a player's sense of, hey, so much of my life is regulated by rules, and it's true now more than ever before. You know, if I want to go get wings, why is someone else deciding where I get wings? And I think it is an interesting look at sort of the larger conversation that is going on in this country about personal liberty versus your responsibility to the collective. And it happens in big, huge, controversial ways on the national stage, and it happens at Magic City, apparently, in the NBA.
We've got less than a minute left, so a couple of questions. One, the Brian Windhorst report that the next super team might be being planned right now. Two, the proper response to J.R. Smith saying he's got only 7 pair of underwear in the bubble.
I mean, I could do 18 spots for you on the radio, and I will never discuss J.R. Smith's underwear. You can't make me. ESPN doesn't pay me enough. As for the super team, look, we've seen super teams develop out of Team USA in the Olympics. It's certainly where Dwayne and LeBron bonded with Chris Bosh, and it is definitely where Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Andre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan became such good friends. And the idea that, you know, they were on a boat in Rio and they were all stuck together, and they became buddies, and that friendship lasted a couple years and is the reason that Kevin Durant, or one of the reasons, he doesn't play for the Warriors anymore, which is one of the biggest moves in the NBA in the last 5 years. So I absolutely think that there's going to be some sort of impactful relationship here. Players can go visit each other on other teams now. They can hang out. They're locked in this situation with each other, and I would expect it to spawn some friendships, and that could turn around and spawn some free agency, no doubt.
Thank you for the time, Rachel. Check her out on The Jump every day in the middle of your afternoon. Thank you for being on with us.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, guys.